Hello and welcome into a very special bonus episode of Locked on Wolves. The Timberwolves have traded for Rudy Gobert. They've traded a bunch of players, a boatload of picks, and they now have one of the best defensive players in basketball. There's plenty to break down. Did they give up too much? What does the roster and the depth chart look like now for the Wolves? We're going to break it all down on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, happy weekend, and happy bonus episode. Rudy Gobert is the newest member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And man, things have changed a lot since. Remember this morning on the show, I was talking about how we'd cover summer league at the start of next week, and that would be the topic, barring anything crazy happening. I think one of the crazy, short of getting Kevin Durant, this is about as crazy as things could have gone on this Friday in Timberwolves land. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. Of course, you can find this show everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so this is a pretty immediate kind of raw reaction to this. I mean, I guess I cheated a little. I've spent the last, not even 2 hours ago. This is like, it happened an hour and a half ago, processing what happened. Waiting until the whole haul came out for the Jazz. There's a lot to unpack here, and I'm not going to be able to do it all justice today. That's why we've got next week. But I want to give my immediate reaction to what the Wolves gave up, how I think Gobert fits with the Wolves, and kind of line up what I've been saying over the past couple of weeks about the Wolves apparently wanting to play big and Tim Connelly wanting to have a massive front line. Kind of juxtapose that with my previous thoughts, which were I didn't like the idea, to now that it's reality, what does this thing look like? What are the Wolves going to try and do? We'll get a little bit in the weeds on that today, and then we'll spend next week kind of breaking down what coverages the Wolves might play, et cetera. But let's start by talking about my immediate reaction and I guess the haul, right, that the Jazz are getting out of this. Well, first of all, when it happened, any Timberwolves fan, there's excitement, right? The Timberwolves haven't made a trade like this. Obviously, the Jimmy Butler deal, that's it, right? I mean, there's no long list of Timberwolves blockbuster trades. It doesn't happen. And the Wolves just pushing their chips in is in some ways refreshing for longtime Timberwolves fans. For anybody that wants to see the Wolves get out of the first round of the playoffs, this is that move, right? This is finding a top 20, 25 player, one of the best two or three defensive players in the league, a three-time defensive player of the year, a three-time all-star. That is a massive trade. It's an absolute blockbuster. So the immediate reaction was excitement. Also a little bit of trepidation given my concerns with pairing a true big with Karl Anthony Towns and moving him to the four full time. We'll get into that here in a little bit. And then moments later, the haul of draft picks that came out, I think both John Krasinski locally and then also Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN broke what the picks were. I'm gonna list these off. So in addition to all the players, we'll get to that in a second, which is almost anything that wasn't tied down, although importantly, not Jaden McDaniels. Their first-round pick, unprotected in 2023 next summer, unprotected 2025, unprotected 2027, a pick swap in 2026, and then a top-five protected pick in 2029. Of course, you have to go every other because of the Stepien rule. You can't trade your first-rounders you can't trade them at all. In consecutive years, the pick swap is the way around that. So the only first-round pick that they straight-up get moving forward is 2024. Everything else is gone. I guess you get 2028, but now we're talking about 6 years from now, right? I saw somebody say on Twitter the players were talking about to be drafted in 29 with the top five protection. They're 12 years old right now. That's how far away this is. They're not even in high school. It's just crazy. The sheer number of picks is crazy because, again, Rudy Gobert is really good. He's very likely a Hall of Famer. There's not very many guys. I think there's two guys ever who have been three-time defensive players of the year. So that matters, but obviously there's the context of what the Jazz have been able to do and not been able to do in the playoffs. There's also the pairing with Towns. We'll get into all that. But the sheer number of picks and the fact that they're unprotected is a little bit shocking. I mean, we just watched the Hawks get killed for trading, four picks for DeJounte Murray, a player who could leave in 2 years. I mean, he could be a free agent in 2 years and decide he wants to leave Atlanta. At least with Gobert, we know he's got, 3 years left on his deal on the max contract he already signed. So he's not going anywhere in the near future. But it's still it's still, you count it, and also Walker Kessler is part of the haul too. He was just drafted. So include him, three more unprotected picks, the pick swap, the top five protected pick in 29. By the way, we're talking 2029, that top five protected pick. Nobody on the roster, including Karl-Anthony Towns with his extension, is under contract for 2029. So sitting here right now, the Wolves have $0 committed to 2029, but they've just traded a top five protected pick. So this roster could have 12, 15 new players on it by the time that pick is conveyed. So just crazy the sheer number of picks that are going out. So my first reaction was, this is exciting. I don't know if I love the fit. My next thought, once I saw the actual return, was, well, first we saw that there was no Jaden McDaniels, which was elation, really. I think besides Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, he had the most trade value of anybody on the roster. To have him not traded is fantastic. And then it's like, okay, we're talking four first-round picks and a pick swap. That's a lot. In terms of the players going out, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Walker Kessler, of course, just drafted 22nd a week ago, and Leandro Bolmaro as well. So the next layer there is no Jaden McDaniels, which is huge. I saw a couple different reports on Twitter that the Jazz really wanted McDaniels, and the Wolves said, we'll give you more picks. We'd rather give you more picks than Jaden McDaniels, which is also fascinating, not surprising. We know how much Chris Finch loves Jaden McDaniels. Obviously, Tim Connelly in the new front office feels the same way. Talk about a guy who, if he turns into who Finch compared him to, Scottie Pippen last offseason, I think that was, which is, you know, aggressive. But if he turns into a Scottie Pippen light, you know, a light version of Scottie Pippen, then yeah, you'd rather have him than a couple of extra first rounders several years down the road. Because again, what the Wolves are doing here is obviously a calculated risk. You've got two number one overall picks in Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. You've got a guy who was a lottery talent in Jaden McDaniels. And now you've got Rudy Gobert, who's one of the best three or four defensive players in the entire league. You're probably going to be pretty good the next few years. And obviously you count on those picks to kind of restock. You look at how Golden State has used their late first round picks and the success they've had late in the first round. Memphis more recently, obviously not to the level of the Warriors in terms of team success, but their hit rate on late first round picks, there's teams that do really well with it. And it's important to get those salaries, those lower salaries, to fill out the fringes of your roster. Because remember, the Wolves aren't necessarily, it was maybe a little less in vogue the last couple of years, but those vet minimum deals that guys signed, the buyouts midseason to add depth to your roster. I mean, if the Wolves are winning, guys will come here, but it's not like the Wolves are in Miami or Los Angeles. Are you going to be able to fill your roster with those vets at vet minimum salaries to help bolster your depth? So I think all that is fair to consider. I want to go through what I think the overall bet is for the bet they're making here and why, and the case for why this is a great move. And then I'll kind of detail a little bit more why I think I can wrap my head around this as a positive thing. Again, this is within 2 hours of this happening, so I'm still trying to formulate exactly what the take is here, but the case for why it's a good move and why I think it could work. And then in the future, we'll get in the weeds more on schemes, et cetera. I do also want to talk about the depth chart now. It's actually maybe not as thin as you might think when you say, oh, the Wolves just traded out five players. Well, they only traded out three guys that were part of the rotation last year as part of this deal, and they got back one really good player. So, you could make the case that the depth is actually still pretty decent. So I want to get into that here next, and that'll be the show here today. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Arcade 1UP. Boom shakalaka. We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with a Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $3.99. Check it out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockdown. You've got till July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition Council. Don't miss out. Enter today. All right, let's talk about the bet that Tim Connelly and the Timberwolves front office is making here. So this is, I said this on Twitter. Think about it this way. The Wolves have the most dynamic offensive big man, we'll say the most dynamic scoring big man, the best scoring big man in the league today in Karl-Anthony Towns. Yes, Jokic is a better passer. I get that. But we'll say the most dynamic offensive scoring big in the league today, Karl-Anthony Towns. You've got one of the most dynamic wing players, and I would argue probably the best or second best player under 22 in the league today in Anthony Edwards. So two former number one overall picks, two of the most, put simply, the most dynamic offensive players in the league. You pair them with one of the top three defensive players in the league in Rudy Gobert, it makes perfect sense. If you're not, you know, if that's all you say, two of the best offensive players, you add one of the best defensive players, and you should be pretty good on both ends of the court. And honestly, that's a pretty quick and dirty, embarrassingly simple way to look at it, but it's not wrong. That's exactly what they're doing. So the bet is that you have three top 20-ish players. Assuming that there's an Anthony Edwards jump, I mean, this year I'd put him in the 30 to 40 range in terms of if we're doing the player rank thing, which is crazy, but like, you know, he wasn't a top 20 player this year. But given a reasonable jump this year, consider the jump he made from year one to year two. If he makes a similar jump, if he does what he did at times in the playoffs last year against Memphis and towards the end of the season after he got over the ankle issue, I mean, you're talking three top 20 players. I mean, Gobert and Towns are both somewhere in the 10 to 20 range, depending on who you ask in terms of best players in the league, maybe 15 to 20. But if you have three top 20 players, you are automatically one of the top, I don't know, six to eight teams in the league, I should say. Top four teams in the West, yes. If you have top three top 20 players, there's no question about it. It basically means you get several shots at a title, depending on how you fill out the rest of the roster. And that's a whole, we'll get into that a little bit when I talk depth here in a minute. But if you have three top 20 players, you get some shots at the title. I mean, you're going to be a 50 plus, better be a 50 plus, should be a 55 plus win team. You should be a top four seed in the West. You should have home court advantage. You should get out of the first round of the playoffs. That puts you in that tournament of eight in the second round of the playoffs. You're one of eight teams with a shot at the title. That's where this trade puts the Wolves sitting here today, given the current roster construction with D'Angelo Russell running the point, still on the roster with Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jaden McDaniels, Rudy Gobert. This team as currently constructed should be in the round of eight, should be in the second round of the playoffs this year, which means all under contract, Ant's going to sign the maximum extension next offseason when he becomes eligible. Those guys, I mean, you get 3 to 5 to 7 years of Towns, Ant, Gobert. This is a perennial playoff contender, home court advantage team that's got a shot to win, multiple shots to win a title. And that's the name of the game, right? We can quibble about the picks, and there's a lot to talk about there. But I think it's also important to remember, this is my next point, that Tim Connelly's specialty in Denver, besides drafting Nikola Jokic, and obviously a fantastic pick, has been depth work and doing work around the edges. It's been the depth draft picks that he's made. Monty Morris in the second round, Zeke Nagy, Bones Highland, guys they've drafted and then moved on from to acquire an Aaron Gordon. Will Barton was an example of somebody they didn't draft, but they acquired him on the fringes on the cheap, a second round pick from another organization, from Portland. And they said, hey, he could be a big part of what we're doing here. Yusuf Nurkic was somebody, Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, depth guys that are rotation players at the NBA level. It's very hard to find true busts in the draft history and the fringes of what Tim Connelly did in Denver. Now, obviously, he had to take a roster from where they were and build it into a perennial playoff team and a team that ultimately went to the conference finals a couple of years ago. And there were a couple of misses in there. Obviously, Tyler Lydon and trading away Donovan Mitchell on draft night, trading away Rudy Gobert on draft night as well. So there were some things in there that are questionable. But the point here is that your GM you run a front office for 9 years, there's going to be some mistakes. But the specialty of Tim Connelly has been that work around the edges, has been finding depth pieces, whether that be in free agency, be veterans on reasonable contracts, Paul Millsap, Austin Rivers, JaVale McGee, Jeff Green last year, who not the biggest Jeff Green fan, but that worked out okay for Denver, given what they had. He's done a good job at finding those guys on the edges. He's done a good job at drafting those second rounders, those Monty Morrises, signing Facundo Campazzo. I know he ended up out of the rotation last year, but creativity in filling out the roster. And the Wolves are going to need that now. We'll get to the depth here in a minute, because I think it's maybe better than you'd realize. If we take a second to dig into it, I think the depth is maybe better than you'd think following a draft or a trade like this. But the work around the edges, the looking for, if Jaden McDaniels is your fourth guy after your new big three, if, or I guess at this, at the moment, D'Angelo Russell is, and you've got Jaden McDaniels, that's a pretty solid starting five. Then what happens after that? What are the rest of the moves on the edges? Does Wendell Moore become a player in the rotation? And again, we'll get into who's on the roster now, but what else are the Wolves going to do to fill out their bench to 12, 14 guys? And then the last thing is the easiest way to put what the Wolves are doing is that they're zigging while everybody else is zagging. Most teams are still going small. Now, we saw some playoff teams have success playing big in the playoffs recently. We're seeing some of the better teams in the league are having success going big. We're seeing a little bit of a resurgence there in terms of traditional centers playing a role. However, there's still more teams than not that don't play a true seven-footer, that prefer to play small. We're not far removed from Robert Covington playing center in the playoffs. We're still seeing teams do that. So it's not crazy to say that the Wolves are zigging while everyone else is zagging. The fact that they're doubling down and going big by moving Karl Anthony Towns to the four and plugging Gobert in at the five is really intriguing. And there, I could do multiple shows on just that topic. Well, I basically already posed it before the draft when Walker Kessler was rumored to be a selection by the Wolves. And then also once they drafted Kessler, I had the same discussion on this podcast, which is taking Towns and moving, you know, there's very few elite shooting fives. Moving him to the four immediately kind of takes away some of that advantage. On the flip side of that, when you play him with Jared Vanderbilt, if Jared Vanderbilt was effectively a five on offense anyway, you played him in the dunker spot. He was a low usage guy. You're not posting up Jared Vanderbilt. He didn't have good enough hands to consistently play in pick and roll game to be your role man. But he just kind of lurked in the dunker spot. With Gobert, you could do those things. You could play him in the dunker spot, and they will quite a bit. But you also can play pick and roll. And I know Rudy had some of his own issues catching the ball and as a role man, but consider right now an Ant Gobert pick and roll, a D'Lo Gobert pick and roll. When it was working, the Donovan Mitchell Rudy Gobert pick and roll was dynamite in Utah. So what could a D'Lo Gobert pairing and an Ant Gobert pairing? What could a set, an offensive set with Gobert and Towns at the elbows, essentially a horn set, with Jaden McDaniels lurking on the baseline or cutting to the basket, dribble handoff action with D'Lo and with Anthony Edwards, and just the versatility of that five-man group is absolutely fascinating. And we're going to spend a ton of time next week digging into that and what that could look like moving forward. But the possibilities are endless for Chris Finch. I will also point out, this is just interesting to me, both Chris Finch and Tim Connolly had hands in the pairing in New Orleans of DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Now, I should say more accurately, Dell Demps, who's currently in the Timberwolves front office and was a Utah Jazz assistant coach last year, was the boss in New Orleans that hired Tim Connolly with the Pelicans. Tim Connolly goes to Denver. Chris Finch is in New Orleans as an associate, or I guess he was the assistant head coach there, or assistant coach in New Orleans. When Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins were there, Demps is the GM. Now, Finch ends up going to Denver for a year as their associate head coach, helps install the offense with Nikola Jokic kind of as the fulcrum there, ultimately moves on to Toronto. Dell Demps moves on from New Orleans after about a decade. Connolly stays in Denver. Look at all the different, the multiple bigs in New Orleans, Dell Demps being in both New Orleans and in Utah, Tim Connolly being in New Orleans and Denver, and the weird kind of whatever shape that is of these guys being in all these different places and working through similar scenarios, having multiple bigs. And obviously the game's changed. It's a lot different now, even than it was 5 or 6 years ago when AD and Cousins were together in New Orleans. But you better believe that Chris Finch has some ideas about what he's going to do with these guys together offensively and defensively. I don't know that you play that much. Well, I take that back. You're going to have to do some different stuff than you did last year because Gobert and Towns together are not nearly as flexible or switchable as Vando was. But there's a lot of things that you have now with that size in terms of rim protection, shot blocking, a back line of defense kind of roaming underneath the basket. We'll get into that next week too. But there's a lot of possibilities defensively, and I think it's absolutely fascinating, or will be fascinating to see what the Wolves ultimately do. Okay, I want to close today's show by looking at the depth of this roster currently. Who's out? Who's in? What does the depth chart look like right now? And what are they still going to be looking for now in the open market? So we're going to close the show with that. First, let's talk about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball and actually the NBA offseason. By the way, I'll confess, I did not look and see if there was a prop bet for who Rudy Gobert would be traded to. But I know there is still for Russell Westbrook and others. I'd be willing to bet the Bulls had the best odds, and the Wolves were probably second or third on that list. I know that there were a lot of reports that the Wolves were interested in Gobert, but there are NBA offseason prop bets available at BetOnline, so go check that out. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Plus, BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's close this thing by talking about the depth chart. So the Timberwolves just traded. So I actually did this on Friday morning. Remember, Friday morning show, you know, just kind of casually going through the depth chart. We'll look at Summer League next week. I talked about how I thought Beasley was more likely to be traded than D'Lo, which, by the way, I was right about that. I was wrong about how it would go down. But now the top two players on the Timberwolves shooting guard, they're off guard, if you will. They're two guard spot on the depth chart. Obviously, the Wolves don't exactly play this way, but it was Patrick Beverley and Malik Beasley. You know, Bev was the starting two guard last year, and Malik Beasley was essentially the sixth man, or I guess seventh man, once Jaden McDaniels kind of emerged. But they're both gone. So now, by default, Anthony Edwards slides from the three to the two, Gobert goes to the five, and Towns goes to the four. And what I was worried about earlier this offseason was Towns moving full-time to the four. I thought you could do it some of the time. I thought you could pair him with a big like a JaVale McGee or maybe eventually a Walker Kessler and play Towns and that big together for, you know, 8-10 minutes a game, depending on matchups, maybe more, maybe less. I didn't think it would be essentially a full-time thing, and now that's where we're at. So the starting lineup is, by default, at the moment, could change at any moment, as we know. D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, I guess it's D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels at the three, Karl-Anthony Towns at the four, and Rudy Gobert at the five. That is a nice, long lineup. Remember, D'Lo is pretty big for a point guard. Anthony Edwards is big for a shooting guard as he continues to grow and have long arms. Jaden McDaniels is big, really, no matter where you put him at this point. He's all of 6'9", 6'10". And then you've obviously got two bigs in Gobert and Towns in the paint. And then your bench, what's your bench look like? I mean, Jordan McLaughlin's your backup point guard. He's the only guy under contract. Jalen Noel's your backup too. We saw Chris Finch talk glowingly about him the other day after the rookies were introduced. And Jalen Noel is going to kind of be your, have the opportunity to initiate off the bench as well. We know he can play make. We know he can run an offense to some extent, not for long periods of time, but he can do it. Kyle Anderson, how big is that acquisition now? And by the way, I haven't talked about Kyle Anderson with this fit yet, but Kyle Anderson adding some length as well with the ability to play the three and the four. Torian Prince, the ability to play the three and the four. You've got three guys now with absolutely just massive length. Jaden McDaniels and Kyle Anderson, and then to a lesser extent, Torian Prince. But all three guys that can play the three and the four, be positionally flexible, be versatile. They can all, you know, less, they're all dangerous enough, you know, league average-ish from three-point range. They can all be cutters. They can all do damage in the open floor. There's that positional versatility. Surround, you know, play big, right? You have D'Lo, you have J-Mac, whoever your point guard is. You've got positional versatility on the wings with all these guys. Throw Anthony Edwards in that mix as well. And then you've got your bigs. You've got Gobert and Towns. And that's kind of your top eight right there, if you include Torian Prince. So you're starting five again, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Behind them, you're looking at Jalen Noel, Kyle Anderson, and Torian Prince are your next three guys. And then after that, you know, Jordan McLaughlin, by default, I think, is in the rotation. He's like your ninth guy. He's your backup point guard. And then probably at this stage, it's Wendell Moore. And I guess Naz Reid, too. Naz is your backup five by default. Although if, depending on matchups and depending on foul trouble and all that good stuff, Gobert and Towns, they could play, you could try to stagger them so you always have one of them on the floor. And you could then play Naz as your third center. And you know, he plays shorter minutes, 8, 10, 12 minutes a game, something like that, depending on how you go about it. If he's still on the team next year, because at this point, who knows? So that's kind of your top 10. I mean, you look at overall where this team's sitting, and there's 11 guys under contract. That means there's 4 roster spots. They've got the same amount of cap space as they did this morning, but they've got roster spots to fill now. They've got just under $9 million. They still have a little bit of money under the mid-level exception. So they have the ability to go out and make a couple of moves to fill the roster, and they're going to need to. They also have some trade chips. You could still trade Naz Reid if he's not your ideal backup big. I wouldn't be surprised if they did move him. He's probably the most likely player besides D'Angelo Russell to still be traded. The D'Lo thing is another conversation. I'm really curious to see if anything happens this weekend. If he's traded, I'll do my best to get out a bonus episode on that too. But by Monday, I'd like to formulate some thoughts on, like, do the Wolves now approach him and say, hey, we'd like to extend you, just not at the max. Do you want to be a part of this moving forward? Can we extend you at something less than the max? And if he says no, do they trade him? Because I think he still has some trade value, certainly as an expiring deal, a former all-star, a guy who can get you a bucket. Is D'Lo long for this team? I don't know. I could really go either way on D'Angelo Russell at this point in terms of whether or not he's on the team at the start of next season. So keep an eye on the D'Lo situation this weekend as well. But at the moment, there's 11 guys under contract, plus Josh Minot, who is second-round pick, could end up being a two-way guy. And then there's also Nate Knight, who has a restricted offer, or is a restricted free agent with a qualifying offer that was sent out to him. So we don't know his status moving forward either. But this team needs to add at least 2 or 3 more players, whether that be through free agency or perhaps there is a trade. Any of that is possible here moving forward. All right. That's all we have for this bonus episode. I mean, anything could still happen this weekend. Like I said, we'll be on top of it with any breaking news. Of course, we'll likely be on Locked On Minnesota next week, perhaps on Locked On NBA. There's a lot going on with all this movement. So please stay tuned to all the Locked On channels. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. And thank you to those of you that do make us your first listen each and every day. A reminder, you can find this show anywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Of course, you can follow on Twitter at @BBeacon and at @LockedOnTWolves. And that's Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Podcast Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And a reminder that you can make your second listen our show over at the Locked On NBA show. You can get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day, Monday through Friday, with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.